I'm sure that all of you have heard the old saying, in a household, in a family, when mama goes on a diet, everybody goes on a diet. Well, around here, when Father Mario has been reading a book, we're all going to end up reading the book. And Father Mario has a new book. Actually, he reads constantly. But this one has really captured his imagination. The title of it is Forming Intentional Disciples by Sherry Waddell. Forming Intentional Disciples. I want to offer you a very short quote from it, from the Bishop, Archbishop Jose Gomez of Los Angeles. I was with him just this week. Jesus Christ did not come to suffer and die so that he could make cultural Catholics. The majority of Catholics in the United States are sacramentalized, but not evangelized. They do not know that an explicit personal attachment to Christ, personal discipleship, is normative Catholicism, as taught by the apostles and reiterated time and time again by our popes, our councils, and the saints of the church. Let me read just a piece of that one more time. The majority of Catholics in the United States are sacramentalized, but not evangelized. They do not know that we are called to an explicit personal attachment to Jesus Christ. Now, I hate to be a name dropper, but indeed I was with Bishop, Archbishop Gomez this week because our order, the Order of the Chair of St. Peter, had gathered at a Carmelite monastery in Alhambra, California, just outside of L.A. And he came and was one of our speakers, and also he was celebrant at one of our daily masses. Now, our liturgy, that when I'm not here with you on Sundays, I'm out at St. Margaret of Scotland in Katy, and that's an ordinariate parish, and we have our own missal, fully Catholic, but containing some of what we call the Anglican patrimony, the way that English Christians spoke to God for about 500 years. Our patrimony, our inheritance. That liturgy that we use begins with this prayer, Almighty God, unto whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of thy Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love thee and worthily magnify thy holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. And then the deacon normally turns to the people and offers what we call the summary of the law. And the deacon begins, hear what our Lord Jesus Christ saith. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment, and the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Sound like something you just heard, huh? We use that every Mass we celebrate together. We used it Monday through Friday of this last week while we were together. You know, all that God wants of us is for us to love Him and to love one another. Why can we not, as human beings, as members of the family of humanity around the world, why can we not fulfill these two simple commandments? Why do we find ourselves so incapable of such simple commandments? Well, you know, when we are honest with ourselves, we have to admit that there is something broken in humanity. Our Catholic teaching, our Catholic tradition, or if you want to get technical, the magisterium, calls this brokenness original sin. And because of our sinfulness, the Father sent His Son to save us through the power of the Holy Spirit. The first reading for today's Mass comes from the book of Exodus. In this particular passage, God speaks to us of the mercy and compassion that He has on orphans, widows, and the poor, the marginalized, the voiceless, the powerless. God tells us that we must be like Him and also have mercy and compassion in a very special way for orphans and widows and the poor and the voiceless and the marginalized and the powerless. This is requisite for those of us who are part of that old covenant. Today, many of we Christians forget that we also belong to the new covenant in Christ Jesus. We inherit the promises of the Old Testament, the Old Covenant, and have the gifts of the New Testament, the New Covenant. It is our baptism into Christ that makes us members of this new covenant. It is important for we Christians to remember that in the new covenant, we have the promise and the commitment of God Almighty Himself for our salvation and for our genuine well-being as a father loves his children, so he loves us. And he directs and guides us, not because he's a bossy God. You know, I don't know if kids still say it anymore, but kids used to say to their parents, "You're not the boss of me." I think some Christians have picked up that bad habit as well. God, you're not the boss of me. Only because I love you. Only because I want the very best for you. That's the reason why I give you rules and regulations and guidelines. All right, so we move to the second reading. This is from St. Paul's first letter to the church in Thessalonica. In this particular part or passage of the letter, St. Paul reminds us that we must always give an example to others of how to live out our Christian faith. When we live with joy and gladness, the new covenant, I promise you, others are drawn to come to know the Lord. If anything in this world today, in our very sick, sad world, would attract others, it would be a life of joy and gladness. Most of us know at least one or two people that we would consider models for living a Christian life. We call them the saints. Some of them are living. Some of them are in our apartment complex. Some of them are in our community club. And some of us find them at work, and we find them everywhere. Sometimes we find them in a history book, on the book of the lives of the saints. We need to become models of how to live a Christian life. We do that when we strive to live as Christ lived, striving to be faithful to our covenant with Him, and by each day renouncing all that is at odds with our Lord. And so now I quickly turn to today's gospel from St. Matthew. It is very short, but indeed it is very powerful. What are the greatest commandments? To love God and to love one another. This message of the Lord Jesus is very clear. To live is to strive to love. If we want to be faithful to the God who created us, then we must love all others. Now, we know that in our experience, it's pretty easy to love those who love us. But unfortunately, Jesus doesn't leave it at that. Jesus calls us to love everyone. And that proof of that love is the special love that we must have for our enemies and those who persecute us and those who try to destroy us. We are called today to live more profoundly, intentionally, as disciples, the love given to us through Jesus Christ. We are invited to show that love for all people, everyone that we encounter, and especially for those who are unlovable, our enemies, those who persecute us in any way, shape, or form. You see, the promise for us as Christians, as followers, as believers in the new covenant, is that doing these two simple things, we shall possess eternal life, and we will be with the Lord and our loved ones for all eternity. Amen.